Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
But in our context here in chapters 2, 3, and 4, Paul is dealing with divisions in the church, and the division that is taking place has to do with who communicated the gospel to them. Okay, and I've learned this as a pastor, that the people that come in to know Christ under your ministry, there's a loyalty there. There's a loyalty there that is, you know, whoever has to follow me, okay, somewhere down the road, and they come in, there's going to be a loyalty. They're going to experience more of a loyalty under the people that come under their ministry. Does that make sense? Because there's a relationship that is built there, and there's a special loyalty. And so when we took our first church, it wasn't a church. It was a church that had been around probably 7 to 10 years, and we followed a great pastor, and he moved on to be the district youth director of our state up in North Dakota. And a lot of people had come in under his ministry, and so when we came in, we realized that they loved us and all that, but they had a loyalty to that other pastor, and so. But that changed over the years as now the church then grew and doubled and other people came in that came in under our ministry. And that's what Paul was dealing with, because now you had people in the church who were saying, I follow Paul and I follow Apollos. Okay, and some were saying, I follow this person. People that had been instrumental in planting the seed within their life, the seed of the gospel in their life. And Paul now takes a teaching moment. Okay, if you're a teacher, you know what a teachable moment is. And says, you know what? You guys are pretty immature. Okay? And you're infants in the Word of God. And so he kind of, Paul doesn't mince words. He kind of just goes, tum! You know, if there's an issue there, he kind of goes for it. Okay? So this is where we're going to pick it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 1 through 9. Paul says, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual. Okay? I can't call you spiritual. I wish I could, but I can't. But I'm going to classify you as worldly. Okay? Wow. Okay? You're not spiritual, you're worldly. You're mere infants in Christ. You're babies. Okay? And since you're babies, he goes, I gave you milk, not solid food. You can't handle steak, green beans. I had to give you milk. Okay? Indeed, you are still not ready. You're still babies. Even though years have passed, you still haven't matured and grown. And he goes, how do I know this? How do I know you're still worldly? Verse 3. Because there is jealousy and quarreling among you. Which means, are you still not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For one says, I follow Paul. The other says, I follow Apollos. Are you not mere men? You're not any different from the world around you. The world around you squabbles and quarrels over minute things, and you're no different from the world around you. You're not spiritual. Verse 5, what after all is Apollos and what is Paul? We're only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. The man who plants, the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, and God's building. Father, we ask the blessing over your word this morning, and we give you the praise, we give you the glory. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen. Amen. First thing we want to look at, the first point there in your bulletin, is the potential is in the soil. The potential is in the soil. Now, the farmers, I think I've maybe already seen one field where I saw tracks that probably already went through and started some seeding, okay? And they're probably a little bit late this year just because of the weather, okay? But I know that as soon as they got the right conditions and it's dry enough, they're going to be out there because it's time to get the seed in the ground. And so I have a few things here, but the potential is in the soil, right? You plant a seed in the soil, and there's the potential that seed will grow. Now, if I take this seed, all right, I got seeds going all over here. If I take this seed and place it on that table, what's going to happen? Not going to grow. Even if I give it a couple months? Years? No? No soil? It's not going to grow. So you have to place the seed in the soil. Is that what you're telling me? All right. And water it. All right. The potential is in the soil. You know, if the seed of God's word is never placed in the soil, it can never accomplish anything. Right? If somebody hadn't planted a seed of God's word in your life, whether it was through a friend, a family member, somebody you don't know, maybe you came to church and heard the message of the gospel and it was planted in your heart, it has to begin there. Your heart is the soil that God places his word within. And until that seed is planted in the soil of people's hearts, nothing can grow, nothing can flourish, right? That seed just sits there and nothing happens. The potential is the soil. You know, Jesus used the illustration in one of his parables, his stories. He said, some seed, can we make a mess here? All right. Some seed is placed on the path, okay? This is a path. That fell among weeds. Okay, there's a path. Okay, it just sits on the ground. It's hard, right? A path is hard. The birds come along and say, hey, here's free lunch, and they snatch it up. Some falls among, this is rocky ground over here, okay? And it sprouts up, but it doesn't grow, right? Because it doesn't have any root base, okay? Some falls among weeds. Okay, you guys look like weeds, okay? All right. All right. You're good weeds, dandelions, yes, okay. Okay, you're not thorns, you're dandelions, all right. You're lovely, all right? Okay, all right. All right. Some falls, what was the other one? Some falls on, did we cover them all? Some falls on good seed, right? All right, good seed. I mean, good soil, right there. Some falls on good soil and produces a good crop. And we never know the potential, do we? We never know the potential. And so we plant seeds hoping that we produce, that seed will take root and it will grow. The potential is in the soil. And if no seed is planted, no plant will come forth. The potential is in the soil. But secondly, let's move on to the second one. The power is in the seed. Okay? The power is in the seed. It doesn't look like there's much power in this baby, but there is, isn't there? You place it in the ground. Okay, we're going to do that right now. Place it in the ground. So we got one right there. Place it in the ground. I think you put it in about an inch, it says, and we're going to water it. Okay. And by next Sunday, there will be a bean sprouting up. You think so? Yep. All right. Just to make sure we're going to plant two, okay? All right. All right. All right. Okay. The power is in the seed. Now, when you go out and plant your garden here this spring, yeah, this spring, it's coming, okay? Come on, have some faith, it's coming. The person that puts the seed in the ground isn't what's so important, okay? And what Paul is bringing forth, he says, who is Paul? Who's Apollos? We're just the messengers that put the seed in the ground. But we can't make it grow. We can't bring change and transformation in the lives of people. No matter what you do, you cannot change your friends, your family, your neighbors. All you can do is plant the seed. Okay? You can't convict. Now you can try. It's going to probably backfire. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. As we plant the seed in the gospel message itself, it has the power to accomplish the work in the lives of people. Now, to illustrate this, I'm going to share a story that our speaker shared with us, and it was on one of his travels to Indonesia, okay? It's kind of a long island there, and I don't know how many million people live on this small piece of land, but a lot, okay? Several million people live on that strip of land, and it is primarily what for spirituality and religion. What is it? Muslim. Yeah, about 98%. Christianity is about 2% there. But he went and he spoke in this one location, shared three different times that day. He was pretty tired, pretty exhausted. And from there, he was going to go to the airport to fly home. And so the pastor there says, I have a taxi driver that's going to take you from here to the airport. It's about a 45-minute drive, and he's not going to charge you anything. I'm not going to take you, but he's going to take you. He requested to do that. And the missionary says, but whenever they do that, they always want something. They're never doing it for free. And he goes, well, he's not going to charge you. He just wants to talk with you. And so reluctantly, the missionary got in this car, and there's a TDK box on the floor, so he had to kind of lift up his legs, and he got in the car, kind of packed himself in there. And they began to go down the road for the 45-minute drive to the airport. And so the missionary asked, guy's name was Herb, just a little bit about his story, okay, and who he was. And Herb had been a mechanic on Caterpillar, okay, machinery, you know, the big machinery, the bulldozers and all that. And for his job over in Indonesia, guess what he would make for a year? An equivalency of a U.S. currency, about $1,500 a year. Wow, you know, that's a fraction of probably what a mechanic here would make in a month. But that's what he'd make in a year. And he began to share his story how he was at a service and God began to impress upon his life about giving towards missions and making a faith promise. And a faith promise is saying, God, I'm going to make a commitment to give towards missions, to helping other people come to know Christ, support missionaries, whatever it may be, BGMC. All these things are to help reach beyond the United States, not only the United States, but outside of that, to reach people for the Lord. And he says he was at a meeting, and God impressed upon him to make a faith promise, to give above and beyond his normal tithes and offerings, to make a commitment. And he goes, what God impressed upon my heart was an offering of $3,000. And the missionary says, wow, that's a lot of money. And Herb says, well, that's what I told Jesus. That was a lot of money. And as he began to pray and just talk to God about this, God says, I want you to quit. I want you to quit your job. And I want you to become an evangelist. And I want you to buy a car and become a taxi driver. And he goes, I don't have a car. And Jesus just really impressed to him, I will provide a car. And so he takes this huge step of faith. He quits his job, gives him the notice, and on his last day he goes and talks to the one other Christian that was there in his business. He was a Chinese businessman, and he explained to him that he was quitting his job and he was going to become a taxi driver. And the businessman says, but you don't have a car. You can't be a taxi driver because you don't have a car. And he says, Jesus is going to provide the car. And he says, Jesus doesn't provide cars. And he goes, but Jesus promised it. And so they went back and forth for quite a while discussing, you know, debating this. And Herb ended up leaving with a check for $32,000 because Jesus doesn't provide cars for people. Do you see the humor of that? And that's about what it costs to get a compact Toyota car in Indonesia. Okay. Think about the wages compared to the cost of getting things there on island. And so he shares, he goes, so Jesus provided me a car, and he goes, I'm an evangelist. And the missionary is trying to figure this out, and he goes, how do those two connect? And he goes, what are you wanting from me? And the man says, we got 45 minutes, and I want you to record a message of salvation. I want a 5-minute, 10-minute, and a 20-minute message of salvation. I want you to record it. And then the missionary realized what this guy was doing. He was an evangelist, but he goes, I can't speak. I can't speak well. I'm not a soul winner. He goes, but I want you to record a message of salvation. And as he would take people on a 10-minute, a 5-minute, a 20-minute ride in his taxi, he would pull out the cassette tape and place it in there and play a message of salvation for the people he was taking from one place to the other. And he had all different languages from around the world because it was an international. He had people from every different ethnicity. And the missionary has been back there several times. And through the mission, just the ministry of this guy. He calls himself an evangelist, but he never shares, really. He just lets other people with the gift of speaking speak through the tape recorder, but he gives the opportunity. And he said, the missionary asked him, he says, what has been one of, hundreds of people have come to know Christ that way. And he goes, what's been, who are some of the people that have gotten saved? He says, well, one was a very, wealthy businessman that was, I was giving a ride, and he wanted me to take him to a bridge. And I put in the tape, and it played, and in the process, he accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior at the end. And he went on to tell me after this that that the reason why he was wanting to go to the bridge was to end his life. But on the way there, he heard the message of salvation, and his life was changed. And he became a pastor in Indonesia and is now sharing Christ with other people. We get many times hung up in that I'm not a good speaker. I'm not a pastor or evangelist. And therefore, we sometimes don't share the seed of God's word, right? And Paul brings on, and even Herb reminds us, that it's not the messenger that's important. It's the seed that's important. And however we get that seed into the lives of people is what's important. And it'll accomplish its work and purpose because it's the word of God. It's the power of God. And God is behind it. And regardless of how long that seed sits there, it can produce a harvest. Did you know in Norway, up in one of the islands, it's in Antarctica, there we go, that there's a seed bank there, right? Anybody heard of that? And they have heirloom seeds that are in deposit there that are saved for whatever, if the world is destroyed or they lose the good seeds or something happens, a natural disaster or... There's strains of seeds there that they can always go back to and start things over. That's up in Antarctica. Kind of an interesting thing. And those, no matter how long those seeds have been there, there's still the power there. They'll still work if you place them in the ground. And an example is this. In the first year of the church here in Crete, I believe it was the first fall we were here, we took light bulbs around and we put the label of the church around there and just said, here's a free gift to you from Radiant Springs Church. And everybody says, do you want money for it? It's a fundraiser. No. We're just, have a blessed day. It's just a gift for you from Radiant Springs Church. And, kind of ties in with the radiant light bulb, and so we passed those out. Now, one of those people that received a light bulb was who? Who was one of the people, Chuck?
Lonnie.
Yeah, right? He received a light bulb. Did you come the next Sunday?
No,
he didn't. In fact, nobody that I know of came the next Sunday. But I don't know if it was a year or two later, all of a sudden Lonnie shows up. And that was part of the seed that was planted. And then other people he came to know, Don and Don Oddbody and others. And he had known the truth. The gospel had been planted in his life, but he had moved away from it. And now God was bringing him back. And the seed was planted. But it didn't necessarily germinate right away. But it took some time. And we never know the seeds that we plant. We may think, man, we want it to sprout in the next day, right? It's not coming up yet. And we want it to happen and take place right now, don't we? And sometimes it takes for the right conditions before that seed sprouts and comes up. But see, the power is not in the messenger, it's in the message. And God can use somebody like Herb that wasn't gifted at speaking, but he came up with a way that he could share Christ with people. Okay? Randy's probably not the most gifted speaker, but Randy has very much connected himself with CMA. And so at check days, you can see him out there serving water, just as they were showing here, and he has the cups that have the message of salvation on there, right? And he has that out there for every check days. And he has tracts that he passes out. It's his way of getting the message into the lives of people. And that might not be your style. But plant the seed of God's word in people's lives. Which leads to the third point, the privileges to sow. We have the opportunity to partner with God. And that's what Paul says there. He says, for we are God's fellow workers. Okay, we're all working together. God's all given us a task to work together, to partner with God in the privileges to sow. It's not something that you have to do, okay, or that you're forced to do. It's something that you get to do, to share the gospel. And I can tell you that there's no greater reward than seeing a life changed, just as we've shared the Word of God with somebody. And maybe it's inviting somebody to church and they hear the message here. That works. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe it's just praying with a friend that has a need and you share Christ with them. You tell them your story. Don't make it too difficult. But the privilege is to sow. Now, that businessman that was saved, not only did he become a pastor in Indonesia, but then later he then started a Bible school and began training other people. And now that Bible school has trained hundreds of pastors, and now they are starting new churches in Indonesia. And see, folks, it all began with what? One seed, right? One seed. And now it's produced many more seeds in the lives of people. You know, and if you put this is a yellow wax bean seed. If you put that in the garden, that one plant will produce many seeds, right? Maybe 100 or more. Just as it produces, because there's a lot of seeds in each bean. Every seed that we plant, we don't know the potential of that seed, do we? It could produce 50, 100,000 fold. Just think of the person that led Billy Graham to the Lord. Think about that. And the millions of lives that were touched over his lifespan and his ministry. It's pretty powerful. See, you never know the potential that is there. All we are called to do is to plant the seed in the lives of people and let God do his work. Let him do the work in the lives of people. When I was in high school, we did a project in FFA class, Future Farmers of America. We did a project where we would take 100 seeds, we put them between some paper towels, keep that paper towel damp and moist. We usually used red hard spring wheat, and we would do a germination test. Okay, anybody ever do that? All right, yeah, we do a germination test, and we would count all the seeds that would germinate. Okay, now rarely would you get 100% germination. I think if I remember right, it was right around that 90, anywhere from 95 to upper 80s is usually what people came in at. And I don't know if that's pretty typical, but that was just the germination rate. You know, not every seed that we plant is going to germinate. And not every plant that ever seed that germinates and grows is going to survive. But some will. Some will. And they'll produce a great crop. And that's the exciting part. I'm going to have the musicians come. I'm going to close with that chorus, Your Great Name. It just talks about salvation. So we're going to do something here. As we do that, Dwayne, I need you. Dwayne Bottom. I'm going to just pick on the people up front here. Take those and give those people in this role. Is it Amanda? Is that right? Rebecca, can you take care of your role here? Just pass them out to the people down there. Clara, there you go. Just give one to every person that's here. And this is, you're going to take it home. You can plant it. I don't care. This is just your reminder as you go today. God's called you. He's given you the privilege to sow, plant some seeds. Who wants to do it over here? Elizabeth, I'm going to pick on you. Is that okay? All right, there you go. You know, I've never seen anybody too stressed out about planting their garden. I'm thinking, man, I don't know if I have the right technique to place that seed in the ground. Basically, you read the directions and you put the seed in the ground, right? You don't have to have very good technique. You don't have to look a certain way. I mean, you have to put the seed in the soil during the right conditions. But the messenger is not too important, is it? And yet we feel the messenger is so important in sharing Christ with other people. Paul says, you know what? The messenger isn't as nearly important as the message. That's where the power is. Amen? Amen. Would you stand up this morning? And just ask God in your own life how you can plant more seeds in the hearts and lives of people. just like Herb, God can use you in a special way. Amen. In fact, 2 weeks ago, somebody says, Pastor Brent, I prayed the prayer for the first time. And maybe today is your first time. You're here, you've heard the message, and maybe you need to rededicate your life, or you just, for the first time, say, God, come into my heart, my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sins. So if you mean that this morning, the prayer is not what's important. It's if you mean it within your own heart. And you want to invite Christ into your life and begin that journey with Him. And if that's you this morning, would you just join all of us as we pray a prayer of salvation this morning, saying, Dear God, come into my heart and into my life. And just as a seed is placed in the ground, it springs forth to life. Lord, may you make me new in you and bring life into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And be my Lord and Savior. Amen. Father, this morning we are all messengers. We're all planters and sowers. And the field is all around us, the hearts and lives of people that don't know you. And it'll be just a matter of minutes, we'll be out of this place. We're going to be coming in contact with people that the seed of Christ has not been planted in their life. And Lord, it's not about us, it's all about you. And you've given us your Holy Spirit to empower us, to equip us, to know what to say, when to say it. Father, don't turn our attention away from us and upon you. Lord, we're nothing, but you are everything. And Father, you can use a donkey. You can use somebody like Herb. You can use anyone here, Father, to plant seeds in the hearts and lives of people. So, Father, I just pray for your power. I pray for your presence upon each of the lives here, our lives. And make us sowers. Plant the seed of Christ in the lives of people. And Lord, it's the privilege is ours. And I pray you go with us this week. Water those seeds that have been planted. Allow them to grow. And we give you the thanks. We give you the praise. In your name we ask. And everybody said, Amen. God bless you this morning. If you see a new face, welcome them in fellowship. God bless you. Good to have you at Radiant Springs Church. Thank you.